moments, we'll begin in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. But I just want to pray before we start. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning and just your work already, Lord. Just your work during worship, your work during the prayer time, Lord, your work during our special music. And Lord, let us pray that we just keep in step with your Spirit this morning. Lord, your word tells in Galatians 5:25, if we're going to be led by the Spirit, then let us keep in step with the Spirit. And that's what we want. That's our heart this morning. This isn't about us. This is about you and your work. And I pray this morning that our hearts would be ready. Our hearts would be good soil, as in the parable of the sower, that we are ready to receive your word. And that which is planted within us, Lord, your word, we'd see a harvest 30, 60, 100 times that which is sown. Pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Whether you've been attending church for a while or your whole life, or maybe you're here this morning as a guest and you're just testing the waters, of course, we are so glad that you are here. I'm hoping this morning, maybe we've been in a series and we upgraded our signage from last Sunday, kind of. We got some falling down here. So the last 5 weeks, we've been in a series called Exchange. We're kind of taking a break from that this morning, and we'll pick that back up next week. We've been trying to have an illustration every week, and so last week we had like spray-painted graffiti signs, and now we got professional signs. That'll look a lot better. But this morning, I want to talk about You Belong. And the first thing I want to talk about is this, and our sermon notes are in the bulletin, or if you have our app, you want to follow along there, or on YouVersion. We make the notes available so you can follow along with us this morning and make it a little easier. But the first thing is this. Church isn't a place, it's a people. Church isn't a place, it's a people. Church isn't just something you attend, it's something you are. Church isn't just a place, it's a people. Church isn't just something you attend, it's something you are. And what we believe here in this church is that bricks and mortar do not make a church. The church makes a church, and that's you. Carpet and chairs or pews do not make the church. The church makes the church, and the church is you. Sound systems and live streaming and all the frustrating technology does not make church. This morning I even said, I miss the days of the overhead. Man, those guys were good. And I mean, I was like, you want to be on overhead duty, right? And then it's like, there would be, you know, five verses down the line, and you're still on the first one, you know, because you're worshiping. But you, the people of God, make the church. And I think that's very important for us to remember and understand. Are we grateful for the freedom of worship we have? Are we grateful for the buildings that we have? Are we grateful that we have air conditioning this morning? Absolutely. But make no mistake, it's not about this room or sheetrock or this building. It is about us, the people of God, that make the church. In Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus said that he would build his church, he wasn't talking about a temple or a building. He was talking about you. It is you with your talents and your time and your treasures, even your hang-ups and your problems and your secrets and your willingness and your perseverance and your tenacity to hold on with your mistakes and shortfallings and imperfection, with your faith, hope, and love. It is you that makes the church. Whether you wear a suit this morning or you wear Vans like your pastor, whether you're American or African or Mexican or Korean or Pakistani, it is us that makes the church. And as I look at this crowd this morning, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for our diversity. I'm grateful for the different people groups we have represented. I'm grateful that we have people from all kinds of socioeconomic statuses and all kinds of different incomes and different sides of town. You, church, are a motley crew. I almost threw the picture up there, but it probably scares some of you. Matthew 16, 18 tells us this. Now I say that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church. that it's talking about us and all the, listen to this, all the powers of hell will not conquer it. When the church is unified and the church is together, when the church is together in one place and one accord, I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter what hell throws at us. It will not win. Our enemy that prowls around like a roaring lion will not have the last say. He will not have the last word. Matter of fact, Christ, because of the cross, already stripped him of all of his weapons. But here's what I believe is that everyone needs a place to belong. Everyone needs a place to belong. A place that maybe fits you like your favorite pair of jeans. As welcoming maybe as the chair, right? Your chair. I have my chair. And my kids know they always want to sit in my chair when I get up. When I walk in the room, I'm going to get my chair back. It's molded to me, right? You may have that place. He's passed on to and is with the Lord, but we had a man that used to attend here. And matter of fact, one of the pews is marked, and he couldn't see very well, but he etched a mark in one of the pews, and he would go down the aisle, and he'd feel for that mark, and that's where he knew his seat was. You may have a place. One of these mornings, I'm going to do upset the fruit basket, though. I'm going to have all of you flip. Get a different perspective. But we were not made to be isolated. We were not made to be alone. I read something that just really took me off guard, that studies tell us that 4 out of 10 people in America feel intense loneliness. Intense. That's not even a statistic that says of those that go through moments and times of loneliness, but intense loneliness, 4 out of 10. That may be you this morning. Matter of fact, statistics tell us that in our American culture, that people relate to families on TV more than their neighbor. Think about that for a moment. That's not the way that we were designed. Every week there was a sweet old lady, and she would go to the post office to buy 2 stamps. One day the lady at the counter, she said, "You know, you can go over the machine and buy the 2 stamps. You have to come over here to the counter. And you can, matter of fact, you can buy them by the 20 and not have to come so often." And the lady responded, "Yes, but the machine doesn't ask about my arthritis." The Bible uses a lot of metaphors to describe the church. But I think one of the most persistent ones that we see is that of family. The New Testament believers call each other brothers and sisters. And those of us that were raised in church, and many of us maybe still use that lingo. You don't hear it that often anymore, but we called each other brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. And I remember when I was the first time that kind of came to understanding, and my mom was talking about something, and she's, you know, "Go tell brother so-and-so." I'm like, "Huh? What do you mean brother?" But the Bible tells us this in Ephesians 2:19. "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with God's holy people." And listen to this, "You are members of God's family." Can you say amen? Maybe there's a place where you love to be. I remember growing up in I say grow up, of course, you guys know my testimony. My mom, made me go to church, and I mean by the ear. You know, that's where I said, "I'm not going." She said, "Oh, yeah, you are," and they grabbed my ear and dragged me to church. But I remember in First Assembly in Midland, where I was a teenager, that in one of the Sunday school rooms, there was a worn spot in this place, and one of the rooms, and it used to be the old sanctuary, and now it's Sunday school rooms. But there was this worn spot that was just, there was no of the padding or anything, just the underneath the carpet was there, and it's because there was a man that had fought in World War II, and that was his pew. Every single Sunday he was at church, and he had PTSD and nervous problems, and his leg would shake and shift, and he wore a hole in the carpet right there. Our text tells us this morning in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9. Are you awake? Are you alive? Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But if someone who falls alone is in real trouble, likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two standing back to back can conquer. Three are even better, for the triple braided cord is not easily broken. In his wisdom, King Solomon says that two are better than one. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. Number one is this: belonging to a church family provides strength. Belonging to a church family provides strength. In verse 9 of Ecclesiastes 4, two are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. There's another translation that says it this way: two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. And not only can you get more done by working together, it's more fun working together. That's a saying of my mother-in-law. Oh, it's fun working together. It's like, nah. I remember the Peanuts cartoon. I used to read it all the time. And one of the cartoons, it was Lucy and Linus. And Lucy asked him to change a channel. And he was like, you can walk over and change a channel. And she said, these five fingers, individually, they're nothing. But when I curl them together, they become a force to be reckoned with. And Linus responded, what channel? I read an illustration where I was thinking about this and doing searches. And it was about two horses. And they were having like a pulling contest. The horse that won like pulled 4,500 pounds. And the horse that came in second place pulled 4,400 pounds. And so they wondered what those horses would pull together if they worked together. And so simple math would say, surely, you know, at the very least or very most, that at least it'd be 8,900 pounds, right? But they put these two horses together, and what they got up to was 12,000 pounds. We can do far more together, church. You find strength when we partner together. Do not let the enemy convince you, deceive you, trick you that life is too rough, busy, complicated to get in a church and to be a part of the church family. He'll do that. I've seen it happen so many times and hear about it so many times of people on the way to church. And you know what? If there's ever a time you're going to argue as husband and wife, it's going to be on the way to church. And how many times that people have turned around and gone home because they say, I can't go to church like that. I'm going to tell you something. You can. And I'm going to tell you, your pastor and his wife, we fight on the way to church, on the way out the door sometimes. Sometimes the kids say, Dad, Mom, quit fighting. We're like, we're not fighting. You stay out of this. You find strength together. You find strength together. You know that the book of Acts, we see the first century church, and I believe that it was a hodgepodge of believers in a variety of backgrounds with different personalities and even conflicting opinions, but they found a way to work together. And when they came together, they turned the known world upside down. And I'm looking more than just a building with a name on it. I'm looking for a people that are ready to create a movement together. And when we do that together, I'm going to tell you something. The gates of hell will not prevail against us. Why? Because we have strength. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap. That's okay. Whether you want to feed the hungry or house orphans or rebuild tornado-ravaged towns or clean up our community or share the gospel, none of us can do it alone. but we can accomplish anything together. Belonging in God's family provides us with the strength to get more done by working together. I believe the church, I believe there's three things about the church. I actually believe there's more than that, but I just want to focus on three things very quickly, and that is this. Number one is never forget that the church, we demonstrate God's love and compassion. You know, I've referenced it a couple of times, but we have too many Christians and believers in a sour, bad mood. I mean, if you've got eternal life, if you've got river of living water flowing out from you, if we have the peace that surpasses all understanding that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, don't look like you've been eating lemons. And I'm not telling you to ignore the facts or ignore your problems. I know they're heavy and I know they're real. But understand that when we get to the place as the people of God and catch hold that it is God that sustains us, that it is God that brings us peace, that it's God's battle. Number two is this. We help each other to be conformed in the image of Jesus. We help each other to be conformed in the image of Jesus. The Bible tells in Proverbs, as iron sharpens iron, so that one man sharpens another. We need each other to hold us accountable. We need each other to get involved in each other's lives. We need each other to speak to the hard, difficult places when we see it in somebody else. Don't tell somebody you love them if you're not willing to tell them something difficult. Hello? I mean, I want somebody to tell me I've got a bat in the cave. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? Talk to one of the youth people. Maybe they're looking at me. I don't even know what that is. We need somebody to tell us we got a stain on our shirt. We need somebody to tell us that maybe we're making a wrong decision or not doing something right. Number three is this. We get to share the good news all the while being proof of the good news. I want to say that again. We get to share the good news while we are being the good news. Number two is this. Belonging to a church family provides support. Belonging to a church family provides support. Ecclesiastes 4:10 says this. Remember how it starts off. If there's two, we're together. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Do you know what it's like to get knocked down? I mean, of course you do. You've fallen down. You've been knocked down. We've all had troubles. It reminds me of an army chaplain who had a sign on his door that said, "If you have troubles, come and tell me all about them. If you don't have troubles, come and tell me how you did it." John 16:33 tells us, "I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me." Here on earth, it doesn't say might, it doesn't say maybe, it doesn't say probably. Look what the scripture tells us. You will have many trials and sorrows, but what? Take heart, I've overcome the world. I'm going to tell you something. There is something about coming together corporately in a worship service like on a Sunday morning. There's something about coming together in times of fellowship like we're going to have tonight at Connect Night at the Thompson's house. There's something about coming together that encourages us, that brings strength to us, that makes us realize we don't have to do this alone. The enemy wants you to believe that nobody cares about you, nobody loves you, that nobody sees you, but if you sneak off in the distance and try to disappear, we can't help you. I'm bringing some truth to you this morning, church. But if you would just swallow the hurt or swallow the pride and just get over it and come together, what you'll find is that we're a family. We say it all the time, that we just don't want to be a friendly church, but a church of friends. And I would even go to say, we just don't want to be friends, but we want to be family. And it's really stirred something in me. It may be something you're going to begin to hear us say a whole lot more, is that there is no reason, if you are a part of this church, the church of God, to do life alone. And so my encouragement to you, and maybe if there's a really practical point to my sermon this morning, is choose today that you'll no longer do life alone. Do you hear me this morning? Don't do life alone. You don't have to. There's people that are a phone call away, a text away, a Facebook message away, that will pray with you, that will go out to eat with you, that'll believe with you, that'll let you just dump all the ugly stuff out on them. You don't have to carry it alone. And know this, that even though we have many trials and sorrows, Jesus overcame it all. He overcame it all. Jesus is all about helping us. When Peter was trying to walk on the water and he stepped out and he began to sink, there's always two things that jump out at me, and that is this. Number one is that he actually did it. He stepped out of the boat. I mean, I don't know what he was feeling. I mean, there's, you know, I love to fish. I love to be on the boat. And there's so many times I'll be sitting there, you know, waiting for that next bite, and I think, man, what would that be like just to step out and just to start walking? I mean, however many steps it was, the Bible doesn't tell us, but we know that he stepped out and he did it. But even though that he sank, when he got his eyes on the circumstance around him, what did Jesus let him sink? No. He reached out and he lifted him up, didn't he? I'm going to tell you something. God is not going to let you fail if you'll have faith and trust in him. Now, if you want to do it alone and you want to do it by yourself, I'm going to tell you something. That's a scary moment and scary seasons in our life. But through the church, I believe, is that we can find the support that we need. And I fully understand that. I mean, we live in a culture now, right, where regular church attendance is considered twice a month. And I know that some of you are new to the church and you're new believers. But, you know, even though I didn't want to be there growing up and be a part of a church, I was still there every single time the doors were open. I never knew any different. How many remember those days? You know what? I know life is busy. I know that it's crazy. I mean, sometimes I tell Angela, like, man, all I feel is a taxi for my kids. I mean, you know, sometimes it's an event to plan. Okay, this one's got to be over here. This one's got to be over there. This one's got to, and all at the same time, in opposite ends of Odessa. I mean, I don't know how we're going to do this. I know how life gets, but I'm going to tell you that the church, we can provide support with one another. And matter of fact, here's what I did. In your sermon notes, if you have them, I put my personal cell phone number and my email. Now, my cell phone number is an 806 area code because I've had it for 20 years. And when we moved here, I didn't want to change it to a 432. That is not an 800 number. I've had people tell me, I don't want to call that 800 number. It's not an 800 number. That's the area code. And I want you to know that you can call 24/7. Doesn't mean I'll answer. But you can call. I know how to, you know, there's this button on your phone. It says send a voicemail. I never switch over. Matter of fact, if I'm on the phone with one of you, I'll never switch over. The only person I switch over for is when I'm on the phone with a family member and my wife calls. I'll switch over then. But no other time will I take the other call. And so if it's that moment and that time, you leave a voicemail, I'm going to guarantee you, even if it's the middle of the night, I'm going to get it. And we're going to be there for you. The Bible tells in Galatians 6:2, share each other's burdens. Share each other's burdens. I want to say it again. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. Matthew 11:28, isn't this a wonderful promise? Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." God's family provides us with the strength to get more done and support that we need to get through life. And number three is this, is belonging to the church family provides spiritual warmth. Ecclesiastes 4:11 tells us, "Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone?" I will be honest, I do not know how my wife has gone through life without her feet falling off. Because we get in the bed. Hello? You know I'm preaching the truth this morning. It's like, how are your feet that cold? How does that even make sense? And I have this fear. I have two fears in life. You guys know I talk about it. I'm an adrenaline junkie. I love doing crazy stuff. And my ER visits tell the tale of that. But there's two things I'm fearful of. The first one is this. I am scared of lakes. I am. I have a fear. Now I love to ski. I love to kneeboard. I love the wakeboard. I'm going to tell you something. When I crash and I wipe out, I'm sitting there floating like a bobber. And I'm waiting for that boat to turn around. It's like praying in tongues, man. I'm not even exaggerating. You see, when I grew up as a kid, my dad was a cat fisherman. And they caught big catfish. Matter of fact, my dad has a record at a lake around the Metroplex. He caught a 101-pound catfish. And I was there the day he pulled it in the boat. And when that fish measured 5 feet, 9 inches long, I'm going to tell you something. And you can't see what's underneath you, it puts a fear in you. Because I'm convinced I'm perfect catfish bait. Perfect catfish bait. But there's also another fear that I have. I love, anybody like the wilderness shows, like Mountain Men and Alone? Come on, guys. Arr. Yeah. They're all T-boned on my TV. If you don't get it, just you come over and watch it with me. But I have this dream. One of these days, I think before I get to it, I want to do one of them. I just want to. Man, I don't care. Just the thought of that. That's just me. But I have this fear, right? Because you've seen those shows where they're walking on that thin ice and they fall through the ice into the water. And then what do they got to do? I don't know if you realize this, but if you fall in the frozen water like that and they pull you out, you got to take all those clothes off. And you got to get by a fire. I'm very image-oriented, so I don't want to go too in detail. And I don't want to scar you either, but you got to take all the clothes off. And this scripture says that what they tell you is even this, is that if you can't start a fire, whoever you're with, everybody takes their clothes off, and you start hugging each other, and you get in a sleeping bag. That is my fear if I go on one of those shows. I'm thinking, you know what? Lord, take me now. I'll freeze to death. Because when two are together, what does it provide? Spiritual warmth. And if it's true in the physical, I'm going to tell you something. It's true in the spiritual. While this may be practical advice for adventure show watchers or participators or whoever it may be, anytime one of God's children gets separated from the family, the fire will go out. I read of a story of a pastor. There was a man that had been absent for some time, and so the pastor went to go see him. Go see this parishioner. And he walked in his home, and the man is sitting in front of his fireplace, and there's just some glowing coals. And the pastor walks in and sits next to him in another chair, and they're sitting together, and they're looking at the fire and looking at those coals, and nobody exchanges a word. And the pastor then grabs some tongs, and he grabs a coal out of that fire, and then he sets it on the earth, in the front of the fireplace, away from all the coals. And eventually they saw that coal lose its hot glow and go out because it was by itself. And then the man, the parishioner, looked at the pastor and said, "I'll be there next Sunday." If you stop coming, if you stop trying, the fire will go out. The Bible tells in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, let us think of ways. I love how the NLT says this. Let us think of ways to, what does it say? Motivate each other. I mean, sometimes that's what it takes, isn't it? It takes calling that friend, that person that hasn't been in a while, and say, you know what, you can do this. You can get there. I'll help you. I'll come pick you up, whatever it takes. Because why? We want to do life together. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of return is drawing near. The warmth you feel inside of your chest when we worship together. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, even this morning, I know I even asked her to sing the song, but Karen singing that special, I Have to Believe, I mean, that ministered to me this morning. I mean, that really spoke to my heart, and by the raise of hands, it did many of you this morning. And think about this, if you would have let anything keep you away, you would have missed that. You would have missed out on that. I'm not here to tell you this morning that not take vacation. I'm going to tell you, when I take vacation, usually we don't go to church on Sunday. There are some times that we do. But I don't feel pressured by it. Now, I mean, you probably think your pastor's a heathen now. That's just the truth. I figure, I better not say that out loud. I'm not saying that don't enjoy weekends with your family, but I'm going to tell you something. You need to do all that you can to get here and plugged in. And I want you to know very practically this morning, it's just not about Sunday morning. I mean, we're doing something really neat on Wednesday nights now. And I really believe that it's a direction kind of God's leading us in these last 2 weeks of the study we've been involved in on Wednesday night has been awesome. Did you know on Wednesdays at 6:30 we have a family meal? And so supper's not even an issue. You can bring your family and come have a meal and come enjoy church together. I know you work. I know that it's crazy. I know life is crazy. I know that high school sports doesn't respect days like Wednesday and Sundays like they used to. But that's when you got to make a stand and counter the culture. Does anybody hear me this morning? You got to make a stand and counter the culture. And so I want you to know this morning is whether you're a guest, whether you have been a longtime attender or newly attending, you have a place here at Odessa First Assembly. I believe with all of my heart that we are the perfect church for imperfect people. Hello? I'm okay with that. I'm okay. And I'm going to tell you something. If you are looking for the perfect church, I say this many times. I just want to caution you. Do not go there. Because if you find the perfect church and you start going, it's no longer going to be perfect. Why? Because we're all imperfect people. No place is absolutely perfect. All of us have different personalities. All of us respond in different ways. All of us worship in different ways. And the atmosphere we want to create here is that don't make the fun of the way I worship, and I won't make the fun of the way that you worship. Meaning, you can worship however you want. I mean, if you wanna run around, if you wanna jump, if you wanna clap on beat, I encourage you. But if you wanna clap, however it is that you wanna worship, I don't know if it's appropriate to say out loud, but we talk all the time. You know, sometimes a really good song will, you know, the team will be, you know, everything will be in sync, and sometimes our, you know, those we have here from Cameroon and Nigeria and different areas, many will start to see that groove going. I'm like, don't hold back. It's okay, man. I mean, however you want to worship, we want you to worship. Why? Because we're all different. But that's the power of it when we come together. That's the power of it. The Bible never says that we have to think exactly alike. It says be like-minded. Be like-minded. But if you're here this morning, and I want you to stand with me. And I know I'm focusing in on the church. I know that I'm focusing in on attendance and things of that nature. But I want you to know this morning, we read a scripture at the beginning as I started. And I just want to read that verse again. It's in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. And it says, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. But see, there is a decision that has to be made for that scripture to be truth to you. You see, you don't become part of God's family even just by faithful attendance. You don't become part of God's family just because you claim a certain church as your home church. I remember I was playing a softball tournament, and I just happened to be there early, and I was the only one there and just waiting and kind of sitting on the bench. And then another guy from the team was going to play. He pulls up. It was a church league. And so you got to put this together. It's a church league. I'm wearing my shirt with the name of my church on it. He pulls up. The opposite team we're fixing to play has a different name to his church on it. And so we're sitting there talking. And I picked up really quick that he really didn't attend the church that he was playing the softball team for. And so after I thought about who I'm going to report that to, softball players will catch that. I just straight out asked him. I was like, I know whose team you're playing on, but where do you go to church? And do you know what church he said? He said the name of my church that I was at. And I was like, buddy, I've never seen you in my life. See, claiming a church as your own doesn't make you a member of God's family either. What makes you a member of God's family? The Bible tells us that when we confess our sin, that He forgives us of our sin. The Bible tells us that when we make confession that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that was raised from the dead, then we are saved. What makes us part of God's family is coming to a place of salvation in Him. It's coming to a place of receiving His forgiveness, of coming to a place and say, God, I'm going to serve you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when you come to that place, then you're a member of God's family. Are you hear me this morning? Now, I'm going to say this just very quickly. We have all kinds of people that attend here. And sometimes, many that attend a long time and never come to that place of decision, or at least yet. But it is our goal here that we do have an inviting atmosphere, that the Holy Spirit has His way, that we want you to attend here even though you haven't come to that place in faith. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have eventually to make that decision. Eventually, you're going to have to allow the Lord to get real with you in your heart. And you say, okay, I get it. I'm tired of running. I'll commit my life to you. I want everyone to close your eyes this morning just for a moment.